Okay, let's just go down through it. This is only one chapter. So I try to combine them, but there's just really no way. And you have to see the highlights of them. So, again, it's kind of matter of fact. But at the same time, it's information that you really, you got to know what happened, okay? So let's just go through these and we'll just kind of rapid fire them through. If you have questions or comments, just feel free to speak out. Verse 1 there, then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Same message, right? Nothing has changed. Same message. Verse 2, for if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep. A very severe pestilence. So God threatens Pharaoh with pestilence. What is pestilence? We don't... It's still a used term, but not very much. What's the word pestilence mean?
A bunch of pests.
Well, this is actually more like disease, I think. Right? Pestilence is disease. So the idea of disease, I think. Okay? Now, verse 3. There's a set of notes over there for you already, Jenny. Verse 3, well, that was verse 3 also. Verse 4 there, number 3. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt so nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. So God separates the children of Israel again. Okay, he didn't do it initially, but then he started doing it last week. We looked at that. What's he separate now? Really, it wasn't the children of Israel. It was their livestock, right? So not only is it the people, it's their possessions, okay? Verse 5, now, then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So God sets a time. Now, why do you think he does that? We talked about this last week. What does that validate if you set a time and it happens? Yeah, it's proof that you did it rather than it just happened, right? So that's, and one time he let Pharaoh choose the time. When do you want the frogs to go away? Well, how about tomorrow? You know? Okay. Enjoy the frogs tonight. Okay, number 5 here. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. Okay? From this disease. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. So I just put down here, God keeps his word. He sends the pestilence. Okay? And all of the livestock. Now let's go back and list the livestock real quick here. Cattle. Which is, I think, is a more generic term. Cattle, horses, donkeys, camels, oxen, and sheep all died of the Egyptians. The freezer is now empty, right? When it comes to meat. Verse 7. This is interesting, but this is the way we think sometimes as sinful human beings. Then Pharaoh sent in, indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. So Pharaoh checks on the Israelites. He's just making sure, like, you know, maybe it's just random, you know, or whatever. So this makes it even, it shows that God is even more powerful, because how hard is it to contain disease? I would think that would be pretty tough. That makes God look pretty outstanding and strong there. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard. This is the latter part of verse 7. And he did not let the people go. So verse 7, Pharaoh hardens his heart. Kind of a stuck record there, huh? So, just like before when God sent what is it? They spread dust and it turned into
lice
or gnats, actually, right? We talked about that last week. It's the word for gnats. God didn't wait. Pharaoh refused, so God immediately sent a rapid fire next one. Well, that's what happens here too. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, verse 8, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in all of the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So God tells Moses and Aaron to spread ashes, right, in the sight of Pharaoh, but they didn't say a word to him. Just like before with the dust, right? It was kind of like, oh, you say no, so here's another one on top of it, okay? And they caused boils, this is across from number 10 there, they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. Okay, so the ashes called boils, cause boils. As I understand it, boils are extremely painful. Okay. In fact,
God tells Moses and Aaron to spread ashes, and then he said Moses scatters.
Oh, I'm sorry. Moses scatters ashes. Sorry, I'm sorry. What's 10 then? Boils. There we go. I'm sorry. Thank you for noticing that. Okay. They were so painful. Notice verse 11. The magicians could not stand. They're still around. Obviously, they're unable to do... to repeat or copy the miracles a few back. They kind of gave up. They couldn't do it anymore. They created frogs, and that was the last thing. More frogs, right? But notice it says they could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and all the Egyptians. So the magicians are disabled by the boils. So they're just totally out of it now, right? They're not even standing there in awe, you know, unable to repeat stuff now. Now, verse 12 is rather interesting. Look at verse 12 here. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So this is interesting, kind of a change from before, but God hardens Pharaoh's heart this time. I can only say that it didn't say that until now. I think before it said that God said he would harden Pharaoh's heart, but it's like Pharaoh did it all by himself up to this point. That's what it sounds like. So God just kind of helps him after this to harden, okay? And it's kind of hard to wrestle with, but Pharaoh was already going in that direction. He was just pushing, you know. He wasn't changing Pharaoh's mind. He was just pushing him in the same direction Pharaoh had chosen to go anyway. Okay? And there's a little bit of explanation here that you'll see in a little bit. But God was actually tampering with Pharaoh's heart at this point. He said he would do this before. But apparently he didn't need to until now. Okay? Because then God, this is the first time it's injected with this idea. Verse 13, then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. What do you think this is going to be? Same message, right? Same message. Sometimes he's confronted, sometimes not. So the previous one with ashes, he just did it in front of Pharaoh, but he didn't say anything to Pharaoh. Okay? It's like a double whammy, my left and my right hook kind of thing. Now he's still talking. Moses is still talking. Let the Lord God of Hebrews let my people go that they may serve me. Verse 14 now. For at this time I will send what? All my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. See, God has a purpose beyond getting the people of Israel out. We've talked about that before. We usually think that God exists to help us out of trouble. God's picture is bigger than that. It might involve you being in trouble, right? Remember the Israelites under the terrible slavery and getting beaten and all of that? So God promises all of his plagues. Now, I don't know that we understand, but a lot of this, it doesn't say that the boils left. The frogs went away, but there's other stuff that's still there. Okay? And so God is saying, and he's sending him to your heart. You know, something to wrestle with. It kind of reminds me of when Saul was confronted on the road to Damascus, and he says, it's hard for you to prick against the goads. It's like the goad is a prod, like a cattle prod or something. It's like, you know, it's eating you up inside, Saul. Because the stuff that you see goes against what you want to believe. Okay, so God promises all of his plagues. Now notice what he says here. Verse 15 now, God says, now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you with your people with pestilence, remember what happened to the livestock? Then you would have been cut off from the earth. God says, I could kill you all. Now that's my paraphrase. I could kill you all, right? Isn't that within God's power? He could have done the exact same thing and wiped them out. Remember, wouldn't that have been an easy way to get out of Egypt? Kill everyone and then just walk out of there? No, God has bigger plans. He wants to go out with a major event here, okay? Verse 16, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up. This kind of explains that God hardening Pharaoh's heart now. That I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. God is doing what he's doing, not just to let Israel go, but to show Egypt that God is the true God and that the entire earth will hear about this. Okay? So it's just not, again, trying to get Israel out of an uncomfortable situation. God has bigger and better plans. So verse 16 or number 16, this God says, this is why you are here. For this purpose, right? I've raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Verse 17, and notice, God hardens Pharaoh's heart, but yet, I believe it's ultimately Pharaoh's fault because it's his own pride. Look at here. As yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. God was not pushing Pharaoh to do anything he hadn't already decided to do himself. Okay? God says your pride is your downfall. God says it's not my prodding, it's your pride. Okay? It's Pharaoh's own internal pride that's the issue. Okay, let's move on. So, verse 18, now behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. It's like you can think of all the bad storms that you have ever, ever, ever had or ever heard about or your grandparents had ever heard stories told about. And this is going to be worse. God promises historic heavy hail. Verse 19, therefore send now. This is kind of interesting. This is the grace of God in action.
said, grace of God, he's sending hail. Yeah, but he's telling him about it. And he tells him to go put their cattle in, or whatever they have, their livestock. Apparently, there must have been livestock that was still there that didn't fall under the other stuff, right? Gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. God warns them. Isn't that gracious of God? He tells them ahead of time.
Well, the other two plagues that he said that wouldn't let them go, he didn't give them a warning, he just did it.
But this one is like, okay, move everything inside, because if it's outside, it will be killed by right. this hail.
But I'm just saying, this is in contrast to the other two occasions where the lice, he didn't pay, you're going to get lice. Well, okay, now you've got this one, no.
And those were kind of pesky botherances. This is death.
Yes.
Just like they're, I don't know, because the pestilence killed all their stuff, it said, but here's more livestock of some kind, so I don't know what's out there, unless it's stuff that they, you know, had in another place or something. And it sounds like it's all of Egypt, too. Again, all this stuff sounds like it's happened in all of Egypt, not just in a little tiny spot. Right. So notice here, he warns them, therefore send down, gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. So there's two responses now. Number 20 is two responses. This is interesting. You have a group of people that believe what Moses says, and you have a group of people that do not believe what Moses says. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. Get everything inside. The other response was, but he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Well, and I think of any coverage, but back then they were probably kind of connected, you know, when you think about it. So a lot of it was that way, even like with the Jesus and the manger kind of stuff, they're connected. But still, yeah, that's not the normal place for them, right?
How much did the people, this affected all of Egypt, how did that word get around to them? If you don't get your animal taken care of, they're going to die. Over against the house of Pharaoh, they're in the middle of this thing.
Did they herald this news across the country to let people know? They might have announced it. Yeah. Okay, the top side of your back, the back page there. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. So God commands Moses to initiate the hail. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So Moses obeys, and God sends the hail. So I just put obeys here. Moses did what he's told. Moses was great because he did what God told him to do, right? Verse 24 there, just across from the number 23. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck through the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. So God sends heavy hail mixed with fire. By the way, it's interesting, in the book of Revelation, this will happen again. One of the bowls or vials in Revelation is hail. And listen, it's like 100-pound hail. It's like so many talents with the King James.
100 pounds. Now, let me ask you this. If a 100-pound hail came down, where would you be safe?
Not in your home, that's
not very many places. And that will yet happen on the face of the earth. Fire and hail. So, you know, God is just checking his, do some practice fire in here. Okay, but 100-pound hail, it hurts to get hit by little hail. Little stings, you know. And if you get quarter-size hail, it'll damage your car pretty good. You get 100-pound hail, you don't have to worry about getting body work on your car done. Your car will be obliterated. It'll be just smashed to nothing. Right? Verse 26, only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. So God keeps Goshen free of hail. And Goshen is just the place where the Israelites were, right? All the way back from when they moved there. They were in the located in the land of Goshen. Verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. I don't know if he's saying I hadn't done it before. He actually had said that once before. The Lord is righteous and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail. For it is enough. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. By the way, as far as I know, the gnats are still there. The boils are still there. It didn't say it quit, right? Pharaoh asks to remove the hail. Please stop this. And he, by the way, he says, I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. Heard that once before. Verse 29, so Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will be no more hail. Again, kind of saying when this will happen. That you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Okay. I think it's kind of cool, too, because it's like one of those movie scenes where people are walking through a hail of bullets and they're not getting hit. Moses and Aaron were probably like that. You know, they're just falling all around. You know, they didn't seem to be annoyed in any way. So, anyway, the word is will. Moses says, I'll do so when I get to the outside the city. Okay, verse 30. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Again, Pharaoh was fearing the hail, not the Lord who sent the hail, it appears. Moses says, I know you will not fear God. Okay, verses 31 and 32. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So the impact of the hail on crops. It's almost like a parenthesis here. Because not only did it kill who it hit, it also impacted their crops, right? There's different phases. Someone, and I don't know how they figure this, they didn't explain their logic, but they think that these things happened over a period of 9 months. I don't know if it's true or not, but there's different times when stuff is growing and things like that. So it took a little bit of time for other things to pop up, different things, the different crops and stuff. So we'll see that. The locusts come and eat everything, and that's like everything that's left, okay, because now it's popped up, right? So the impact of hail on crops, and this is big hail, all right? So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. So Moses stops the hail. And again, we're only saying that in human terms. Obviously, God is the one that is doing all of this. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart. So that's why I'm thinking God hardened him one spot, but Pharaoh was doing fine by himself too, right? He sinned yet more. He hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh, even his servants, don't let him go, you know. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So Pharaoh hardens his heart. Again, it's like stuck record. If you think about it, his kingdom is almost devastated already. Well, there's a few odds and ends things left, like you said, because the locusts come. Take the weed or whatever, you know, just finish it off. And they still have their possessions. Gold, silver, stuff like that, which God will take care of shortly. All right? He will bankrupt them. So there's chapter 9 in a rapid fire way. And you can look at the end of your notes here. Chapter 10 is two more plagues, locusts and darkness, which is kind of weird because in the land of Goshen, they had light. That's even more amazing than the pestilence not spreading over or the hail or whatever. Wow, when you can split darkness and light, that's pretty good, okay? And then chapters 11 and 12 are the Passover and the Exodus, where we get the name for the book. Okay, so.
What's it indicate? When we say hard heart, what is that? How do you see that?
How do I see that?
How do you understand that? What do you understand? Heart?
Just a rebellious heart, a refusal to say yes to God. What would you see it as?
One thing that came across as a reference mind is that the kids move to a reprobate mind. This way of thinking.
Yeah, it seems like Pharaoh was doing it well by himself, though. Right. Not to say that I understand the reprobate mind part. I don't know that that was here.
He gave it over to a reprobate mind. I mean,
He allowed it to go further.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Just take it one step. Yeah, go ahead. I'll leave you to yourself. Bless your own system. Just and a corrupt mind. This digression which Pharaoh took himself. It just blows my mind.
Well, and it shows you that the hard-heartedness of people.
Yes.
Even in the Great Tribulation period, all these bad things are happening, and yet people refuse to acknowledge God. They're praying that rocks will fall on them. They want to die, but they refuse to yield to God. That's what will happen. Yeah. Well, I'm saying, yeah. But even more so, it can be so bad. And instead of, they say there's no atheists in foxholes. Oh, yeah, there are. They just shake their fist at God. So, I got a couple minutes. I'm just going to show you one thing here. It's not in your notes. I've already taught the kids at FLAP. But we're in the book of Exodus. And the Old Testament was translated into Greek. It's called the Septuagint. So the names that we have for Old Testament are either Latin or Greek, not Hebrew. Okay, so the word Exodus, just so you know, conversation piece, the word EX. What do you think EX means?
Out.
Yeah, like exit.
Out
or away, yeah. So out. And odus. the way. It's the way out, the path out, the road out. That's what the book of Exodus means. That's exactly what it means. Okay, so it's just, what's the book of Exodus about? It's the book about the Exodus, the way out. Okay, so, okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word again. And Lord, we must be honest and say that we are probably more like Pharaoh than we are like Moses many times, because we know we have 66 books of you telling us what's true, what is right, what is good. And Lord, help us to embrace your truth rather than relying on our heart and shaking our fist at you, rather than embracing what is absolutely true, because you have told us what is true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.